Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter number 2 for the reading of God's Word. Hear the word of the Lord. Wherefore, my beloved, in verse 12 of chapter 2, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Why? Paul says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verse 17, yes, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also you joy and rejoice with me. Lord God, come. Come into our assembly. Come be with us, dear God. Come with us. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit of power. Bring to us your presence. Send it, dear God. Open eyes. Eliminate distractions. If there's a heart here that's dead, quicken it today. If there's a soul that doesn't believe, make it believe, dear God. Do the work that only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So what a verse. What an amazing text. And it's my job to show you it. To show you it in all its glory and all its truth. Before that, I didn't want to answer this question. And by way of helping with our sermon instruction this morning, the question is, why do the pastors of Berean use multiple translations? Why do they look at multiple translations? Why can't we just pick one and be done with it? Well, I want to answer that question. One, the Bible was not written in English. It was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. And we're reading the translation. That's what we're reading. Number two, none of the pastors on your staff are fluent in the original languages. We're simply not fluent. You'd have to be pursuing it every day to be fluent. Number three, no single translation committee has ever perfectly translated each and every Hebrew and Greek word of the Bible. That's just a fact. They've never done it perfectly. Number four, we want the most complete understanding of the meaning and intent of the Word of God. We want the most complete. We want to look at this verse 17 here, where Paul says, yes, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I want to know everything that Paul wanted me to get out of that. I want us as a church to look at this verse fresh, new, and I want us to look at it with a greater understanding than we ever have before. So I've spent 2 weeks looking at this verse, 2 weeks unpacking this verse, 2 weeks striving to get the most out of what does Paul want me, what does Paul want you to understand from verse 17. Is there anything special about this idea of if I be offered? What does Paul mean? So how do I unpack that? Where do I go? Well, these are my two options. And there are others, but these are my primary two. One, I can look at other translations. I can look at other good, solid Bible translations. And number two, I can reference the Greek. I want to talk about both those. I give you three translations. First, the ESV. and if I be poured out as a drink offering. Wow, that's a lot of extra words right there. Poured out as a drink offering. Is that an anomaly? What do I mean by anomaly? Is the ESV the only one that goes that way? Or are there other translations that are going to talk to us about being a drink offering? I look at the NASB, almost the same language. But if I am being poured out as a drink offering. Now, I have two translations that have chosen to include extra words to help me understand this word offering here. New English Translation, also a good translation. And if I am being poured out like a drink offering. So obviously, they want me to get the idea that Paul's talking about an Old Testament drink offering. So now let's talk about the Greek. Well, I have two options. Those of us that are as old as Dick in this room, remember this thing right here. A Strong's Concordance, John, you probably have one, right? It's massive in size. Remember using this? You'd have it next to your Bible. Every time you want to look up a word, you go to your Strong's. You'd find what Hebrew word it was, what Greek word it was. You'd go down that index, you'd open it up, and then you could begin searching for every single time it was mentioned. Fortunately, we live in the digital age. We have great websites like this, blueletterbible.org, blueletterbible.org. It's free. It's available for you, each and every one of you. Most of you this morning should have it installed on your smartphone. You say, why most? Because some of you don't have smartphones. And so if you don't have a smartphone, then you can't install it on there. But if you do have one, it's a free, great app, BLB, BLB. So we're going to go up to our Blue Letter Bible here, and we're going to type in Philippians 2:17. Why? Because we're trying to study this verse. We want to get the most out of it. When we do that, this screen's going to pop up, and we're going to go over to our tools bar right here, and we're going to left-click on our tools bar. When that happens, the screen will change magically, and this will come up right here. I now scroll down. I'm on the interlinear page right here, interlinear page. I scroll down, and I find the I be offered up. I want to know what Greek word is behind that. I find out that it's been numbered as Greek 4689. I move my cursor down here and I click on that. When that happens, this word pops up right here. I find out it's a verb. It's a Greek word right here. I can continue studying. I scroll down on my screen and I find out this word is used two times in my New Testament, just two times. Obviously, if it's only used two times, I'm going to look at the other time it's used. That's a no-brainer right there. So I scroll down and I find out that it's actually found in 2 Timothy 4:6, also by Paul. And he says, if I am now ready to be offered, ready to be offered. Again, I look at my ESV and it says, if I am ready being poured out as a drink offering. Paul's imminent death is being referred to as a drink offering. Next, we can scroll down and we can find out more about this Greek word. We scroll down and outline a biblical usage and we find out it means to be poured out as a drink offering. Now we're getting a better understanding of why our other translators are including this additional information of a drink offering. So I can go to a great website. Let me pause and get a drink here. I'm getting a drink offering. Seven of you are following along. Okay, let's get engaged this morning, okay? Let's follow along. So, this is a great website ministry. It's called gotquestions.org. It's pretty solid. There's no perfect website. There's no perfect anywhere you go. Don't believe it unless it's supported by Scripture. But this asks the question, what is a drink offering? The answer is the first recorded occurrence of a drink offering was given by Jacob in Genesis 35, right after God changed his name to Israel. Drink offerings were included with burnt and grain offerings in God-ordained sacrifices, including the morning and evening sacrifices of Exodus 29:40. One quart of hin, about a quart, of wine was poured out on an altar of fire for each lamb sacrifice, Numbers 15. A ram sacrifice required a third, and a bull required a half, Numbers 15 also. So let's look now back at our Bible verse here, Philippians chapter number 2, verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Here's the idea, folks. Here's the idea. Paul's expecting his reader to know the Old Testament. Paul's expecting his reader to connect his current circumstance and their current circumstance to this Old Testament idea right here. This is the altar. This is the altar in the tabernacle. This is the altar in the temple. And upon this altar, sacrifices were presented to the Lord. This man, this priest, is serving his service. There's the word in our Bible verse, service. And there's a sacrifice on the altar. And then notice on the ground right here are these measuring instruments right here in which I can take wine and I can dump it on the sacrifice. Are you getting the idea right here? So Paul is saying that Paul's ministry, Paul's life, Paul's entire life is like a drink offering, and it's being poured out on the sacrifice and service at the church at Philippi. Remember, he's writing to a body of believers. And he's saying that they have faith. And this faith, see the word your faith? Their faith has produced a sacrifice and a service. And so Paul says, your sacrifice and service mixed with my life is a drink offering, your part is the sacrifice and the service. And together, this is a partnership, we are presenting an offering that is pleasing to the Lord. Let me do my best to give you a parallel idea. All right, in this package right here, this package, let me take off my jacket. This is just so cumbersome. I don't even know why we have these things. Just useless, okay? This is a package of chicken right here. This is not your expensive grain range and all that organic. This is just ordinary chicken right here. You can get cancer from this chicken, all right? And this is 100% natural Sanderson Farm chicken right here. You got it? And this is the sacrifice. This is the sacrifice. Now, if you would like to make your chicken more pleasing, I'm going to teach you how to cook. Now, look at what a sermon this morning. You've got an instruction on Blue Letter Bible. You're learning how to cook this morning, and we're actually going to preach. You're getting a 3-for-1. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, okay? This is Italian dressing right here, okay? This is Italian dressing. You can bust open this Italian dressing. Oh, it's got one of those terrible things in there. You know what I'm talking about? The safety things where you squeeze, 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 squeeze. Let's hurry up, get out of there, we're running out of time. We have a squirt it out right here. All right, now this is going to be our drink offering. Everyone got the idea right here? This is going to be our drink offering. Now we're going to take our chicken. Yep, oh, I should put some gloves on. It's too late, I already got them on my hands. All right, take it like this. Oh, what a mess. Somebody get me a paper towel, please. All right, we're going to take this sacrifice right here. Thank you, Brian. Brian wants a raise, he's doing a good job. All right. Now, wait a minute. I've got a sacrifice right here. You got it? That's the chicken. And I've got a drink offering right here. Everyone understand the idea right here? Now, folks, if you're new to this whole idea of grilling, this is a great way to start right here. Throw this Ziploc bag in your refrigerator overnight. The next day, throw it on a grill, and you're going to have some good chicken. I mean, this is really simple. This works really well. Heat your grill up right away real hot. Then move it to low. Heat it for about 8 minutes. Seven if you like your chicken less well done. 9 if you're my wife. Turn it over and then cook it again, okay? This chicken by itself is fair, okay? The Italian dressing by itself is fair. You take the Italian dressing and you put it with the chicken and you've got yourself something to eat, okay, folks? Paul is the drink offering. Do you got it? And the church at Philippi's sacrifice, we're going to talk about the sacrifice in just a minute, is the chicken inside the Ziploc bag. And together, the church at Philippi, working with the ministry of the Apostle Paul, has become something that's pleasing to the Lord. Are you getting the idea right here? Okay, thank you so much, Brian. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. So we'll put that up here. Stick that right here. I did have gloves, folks, but the gloves are just ridiculous. Okay? All right. How do they even make it in the 1800s, you know? I tell you, where's the clicker at? Where's the clicker? Move to the next slide while we find the clicker, please. Oh, all these sidebar conversations. Here it is right here. Y'all need to keep track of this thing. All right. Turn to Luke 22, please. Turn to Luke 22. We're going to come back to that, so don't lose sight of our chicken. It's marinating right now, okay? All right, Luke, folks, turn to Luke 22. I want to draw a parallel. So we're talking about drink offerings and the sacrifice and service of their faith. Jesus says, we're going to look at Luke and John. Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 20, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Once again, if I take the time to look at alternative translations to get a better understanding of what Jesus communicates, I realize that in the NET Bible, the NASB Bible, and the ESV, they all talk about it being poured out. Being poured out. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Is Jesus' blood the drink offering? Is Jesus' blood the drink offering? Wait, let's see if we can draw a parallel. How about John 19, 33 and 34? "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water." What are you saying, Pastor Sean? I'm saying that Jesus provided his own drink offering. That the drink offering on the sacrifice on the cross was the blood and the water of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he poured out his own blood and he sacrificed his own body, and that his blood and his body became the sacrifice and the drink offering. That he was his own drink offering. So now Paul's going to transition after talking about his life and his ministry being a drink offering. He's going to move to the church at Philippi. And he says that the church at Philippi, that they have a sacrifice and a service from their faith. He calls it your faith. Your faith. And I want you to notice that their faith produces sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. Folks, the chicken is the sacrifice. The chicken is the sacrifice. This sacrifice right here at Walmart, corner store, cost me $5. I made a $5 contribution for this sermon illustration. I'll turn in the receipts on Monday. And just kidding. All right. And this is the sacrifice. Do you see it right here, folks? This is the sacrifice. Imagine for just a moment that I invite the Woosleys over to my house, save Jillian, and five of them. And y'all come over to my house. And Jeff, each of you receive on your plate a Ziploc bag with three chicken tenders in it and an appropriate amount of Italian dressing. I just give you a little Ziploc bag, and you get a little Ziploc bag, and on your plate, Stephen, is a Ziploc bag of chicken tenders, raw as can be. They've been marinating all night, and I say to you, bon appetit. You would look at me like, have you lost your mind? Look, I'm giving you a sacrifice right here, but wait a minute. There is a necessity for some what? Some service. I got to bust out the grill, folks. I got to do the work here. So the spatula this morning is going to represent the what church? The service. And the chicken's going to represent the what church? All right, let's say it again with a little bit more oomph. The spatula is going to be the what? Service. And the chicken's going to receive the sacrifice. Okay. If you have the faith, if it's your faith, if it's your faith produces sacrifice and service. That's what it does. It produces those things. So I want to ask you this morning, is it your faith? I don't presume it is. I don't presume for a moment it's your faith. I got a disturbing email this week from a man that was part of our church for 2 years. Sang the same songs, Marcus. Sat in the same pews. Read from the same Bible. 2 years. He's abandoning his wife. Leaving his wife. Done with his wife. Chasing a little honey. Can I tell you right now that when you abandon your wife and start chasing little honeys all over the city, it calls into question if it's your faith. So I don't presume for a minute it's your faith. I don't presume that because you came to our Awana program or because you grew up in our youth group or because you went to our this ministry or that ministry that it's your faith. I want to ask you this morning right now, is it your faith? Is it my faith? Because if it's your faith, it goes with you. It goes with you to the other city. It goes with you to the next stage of your life. It goes with you everywhere you go. And if it doesn't go with you, it calls into question if it was yours in the first place. Because you're sitting here, because you came to this church, because you consume some breath with us, consume some oxygen, it doesn't mean it's your faith. So what do we mean when we ask the question, is it your faith? What are we asking when we say, is it your faith? This is what you personally believe. Not what mama believes, not what daddy believes, not what uncle believes, not what the cousin believes, not what the preacher believes, not what my Sunday school teacher believes. I want to know, what do you believe? I want to know what your faith is. I am well aware of the fact that we are raising children in godly homes and they're abandoning the faith. So I want to talk about the faith. I want to talk about your faith. What do you believe? And we'll know what you believe when you go to college. We'll know what you believe when you get married. We'll know what you believe when you leave the house. We'll know what you believe when you PCS. We'll know. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And what do you believe? Well, you believe that there's a creator God. Let me go back. This means you've been born again. This means you've been converted. And by the way, can I emphasize one more time that only God can do the converting? This preacher can't convert you ever. I have no power to convert you whatsoever. I wish I did, but I don't. I convert some of you teenagers that I love dearly. I'd bring you to Christ. I'd make you believe. But you know what? I can't. I can't. Don't ever believe the nonsense that you hear. Don't ever believe that kind of nonsense. Never met anyone I couldn't win to Christ. Walk away from someone that says such a stupid thing. Because we don't do that. I plant seeds, preach the gospel, but He brings the increase. He does. God has done a work in your heart, and now you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You're 7 years old, and He's your Savior. And you're characterized by the rest of your life by believing on this thing. And it shows itself in sacrifice and service. And what do you believe? Well, I believe that there's a creator God in heaven who sent His only Son. And by the way, this belief in a creator God who sent His only Son manifests itself in all kinds of ways. Let me give you just a tiny little example. Man, I'm running out of time. Slow down the clock. You know, I was on Facebook because of the PwC thing with our water and everything, you know. And people were just bashing PwC, you know, just a giant inconvenience. We went hours without having clean, immediate, high-pressure water, suffering for Jesus in Fayetteville without our immediate water. And they're just bashing, you know. So I wanted to add my little 2 cents to Jim Arp. He's one of the city reps' page. And I said, first, we ought to be thankful for the great work that these guys are doing. Do you understand it was freezing cold yesterday? Do you understand that they were outside working at these water main breaks? By the way, they were in freezing cold weather working with water. Those two don't normally go together, water and freezing cold. And we're in our houses on our smartphones, on our desktops, just complaining and complaining. Warm, yes, brother. So I reminded them that there are still many parts of the world and many people that don't have clean drinking water, folks. Say amen, church. Amen. Or warm houses. Thank you, Greg. And someone wrote back and said, you're right. We sure are lucky. Yeah. Hey, folks, people who believe in a creator God in heaven, we don't use the word lucky. Amen. We don't use the word lucky. Amen. We're blessed. Okay? Hey, can I remind you just one more umpteenth time? Like, I'll just say it like a broken record. You didn't pick your mama. That's right. That's right. You didn't pick your daddy. You didn't pick your skin color. You didn't pick your place of birth. You didn't pick the time that you were born. You didn't pick your intellect. You didn't pick your talents. You didn't pick any of those things. All from God. From God. Providence of God all over the place. So we don't talk about luck in this church. We talk about the blessings of God. I sure am blessed. Because it's the providence of God that we live in a country that has clean drinking water. And when you believe in a creator God, it impacts your worldview. It impacts your worldview. His son was Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a sinless life so that He could be made sin for you. In His death on a cross, in your place for your sins. He rose from the dead and is coming again for all who believe. That's what we believe when we say, Is it your faith? You're 14 years old. Is it your faith? Do you own it? Is it yours? Do you own it? So here's what we've got going on here. We've got this sacrifice on the altar. But then when I look down at this altar, I see this little door right here. See it right here with me? This little door. You know what that door was for? It's to put wood inside the altar. That's what it was for. It's to put wood in the altar. There's the service. Do you understand that there were a priest whose job it was just to cut wood, cut and split wood? That's all they did all day long, cut and split wood. The Holy of Holies fire, the fires can't never be let go. We got to be cutting wood, cutting wood, cutting wood. Cut and stack it, cut and stack it, cut and stack it. That's all they do. For the glory of God and for the kingdom of God, they cut wood. And that's their service. That's their service. So that the fire keeps burning, so the sacrifice offering, so the drink offering can be dumped on top of that, so that God is glorified in the offering. Why? So that a continual picture of the coming Messiah and what he's going to do is offered all the time, all the time, all the time. Do you cut wood in the house of God? You cut any wood this week? Cut any wood for the glory of God this week? Open the box at all? Hey, let's say it this way, church. Let's say it this way. Do you get the spatula out this week? Have you done any grilling this week? It's not enough just to dump the chicken in the drink offering, folks. Ain't nobody wants to eat this. It's not done. It gets done because you get the spatula out. And when you get the spatula out and you get the grill going and you get serious about this and you figure out how to produce some good chicken. You know why you do that? Because you care about your guest. You care about the one you're cooking for. You figure it out. You scrape the grill. You scrape it. You monitor it. You work at it. Whenever we're having guests coming over, Pam always says, do we have a spare tank? You know why she says that? Because it's a nightmare to run out of propane halfway in between when the steak's on the grill, Jim. I want to make sure I got a backup right here. Why? Because I'm serious about preparing something on the altar. Folks, let's get serious about serving the Lord. Let's get serious about it. Let's get serious about it. The altar's got to be scraped. The lambs have got to be prepared. There's work that needs to be done. Far too many people in the body of Christ are content that every Sunday raw chicken's offered up. Not enough work's being done. This was laborious. This was hard work, messy work, bloody work. But their God was worth it. Do you care? Calves, lambs, goats, grain, vegetables, foul, all costing something. Can I say it differently? Is there any room in your life for him? I've been just enjoying that song. Prepare him room. Prepare him. Any room for Jesus in your life? Any room at all for sacrifices? Any room at all? Notice that this sacrifice and service flows out of their faith. Their faith produces something. Is your faith going to produce anything this year? Will there be any evidence in what you do? Look at me. Don't worry about someone leaving the auditorium. Don't get distracted by that. Not even for a second. Paul is mixing these metaphors in a beautiful way. And we wouldn't get that if we didn't study a little deeper. He wants to see that his ministry is the drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of the local church. Turn over to chapter 4. He's going to unpack what he means by their sacrifice and their service. He's going to unpack it for us. He's going to clarify for us what he's talking about. He's going to mention this joy one more time. He's closing his letter out and he's going to say in verse number 10, I rejoiced. I rejoiced in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord. Well, what were you rejoicing about, Paul? I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished. Again, wherein you were also careful, but yet you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in lack of respect of want, for I am learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. By the way, stop using that verse out of context. It doesn't mean you can fly to the moon. The context is learning to be content. Do you know why he needed to learn to be content? Because their support of him had stopped. It had stopped. And why is he rejoicing? Because it's back on again. It's back on. Verse number 10, it's now flourishing again. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. If we only understand our modern definition of communicate, we think we're talking about text messaging. That's not what he's talking about right now. How do we know that? Because the context tells us. Let's keep reading. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning, these are our key words, giving and receiving. You know what we're talking about here this morning, church? What you don't want me to talk about? The financial support that Paul received from the church at Philippi. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's what we're talking about. Like this church. Like this church. What do I have on the wall? I have a picture of our partners. That's what I have. We're the church at Berea. We're the church at Berea. Paul's dead, folks. We can't support the ministry of Paul, but we can support the ministry of Brother Clark right here, Ben Brooks right here, Branches right here, the Hesses in Crimea, the Newtons in Spain, Bashores over there where we can't say. They're the drink offering, folks. And every single time you make a sacrifice, we partner with them. Your sacrifice combined with their drink offering is unbelievably pleasing to the Lord. There's the Kellets right there. Yamasaki's in the middle. Up at the top is the Anchorage Ministry. In the middle is Appalachian Bible College. Down the bottom is Luke and Jessica Marie. Folks, these are drink offerings. Do you understand that? These are drink offerings. And every single time that you get excited about giving to the kingdom of God, you're saying, I want to be part of this. Put my sacrifice on the altar. Just imagine for a moment that we have a day in which you got to bring your own steak, and we have this giant grill, and everyone is just bringing in their own meat, and we bring enough to feed them. Are you getting the idea? That's what Paul's talking about. Here's Aaron over in Frankfurt, Germany. He's with a body of believers and potential believers. He's preaching the word, and we're not there, church. We're not in Germany with him, but our sacrifice and service is on the altar, and his ministry is the drink offering. So I ask you this morning, is there anything that's going to flow out of your life this morning? Anything that's going to flow out of your life this month? Anything that's going to flow at all? Will you make any changes in 2018? Will it still be the same for you? Nothing in 2017, nothing in 2018? There's a reason it's called a sacrifice. It wasn't free. It had to be purchased. I walked into Walmart this morning. I said, I'm doing a church illustration like this, chicken free. No. You know what they want, Brother Howard? Money. They want money. And let's be clear. Giving dollars to the church is definitely a sacrifice. There are many of you, uber numbers of you in this congregation. You're driving used vehicles. You know why you're driving a used vehicle? Because you give consistently and faithfully to the work of the Lord right here. And there's a portion of your budget that's set aside for the work of the Lord. And you could surely be driving that brand new F-250 if you wanted to, but instead you're driving a 150 and it's 10 years old. You know why? Because you believe in the work of the Lord and you're giving. And there are others right now that are as uncomfortable as can be in there, and I won't even make eye contact because they have no intentions of ever sacrificing to the work of the Lord. And let's be clear, a person who makes $7.25 an hour and that person who gives 10%, they're making a greater sacrifice, folks. That's a giant sacrifice to give 72 cents of every single hour of work that they work. That impacts their standard of living right here. The guy who's making $100,000 a year, and praise God for gifts of $10,000. But let's be honest. Let's all be honest in this room that are overblessed. His standard of living is not giantly impacted. He's not eating ramen because he's given to the work of the Lord. He might vacation a little bit less and doesn't trade his car in every 2 years and every 3 years. And I'm not trying to minimize your donation. I'm just trying to give you some perspective on what sacrifice looks like, folks. They gave a sacrifice. A lamb was given. A goat was given. A bull was given. How many of you know what Romans 12, 1 says? Hey, folks, if you don't, write that down, please. Romans 12, 1. It's a verse that all of us should have committed to memory, right? I beseech you, Paul says, I beseech you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you and I would present our bodies a, tell me, church, a living sacrifice. God's not wanting any more goats brought into the church. No more lambs offered up. The ultimate lamb's been given, Kyrie. He gave his life. God doesn't need any more dead things offered up to him right now. What he needs is living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. And by the way, they're holy. Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. And then he says, and this is your Uber service reserved for super duper Christians. No, thank you, sister. No, he says it's your reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing to ask you to serve as a deacon. It's a reasonable thing to ask you to serve as an usher. It's a reasonable thing to ask you to serve as a greeter. It's a reasonable thing to ask you to make a contribution to the church. It's not something reserved for the elite group of Christians who are super serious about the faith. It is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Reasonable service. Teenagers, young people committed to purity. I'm going to be a virgin when I get married. That's a sacrifice. I'm not sleeping around and enjoying all the pleasures of sex with anything that walks. No. No, I'm making a purity sacrifice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to the wedding day pure. And I will not partake in the abomination that the world says. Why? I'm making a sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice, and it's holy and acceptable to the Lord. How about sisters and brothers in Christ that are staying in marriages that are just quite frankly miserable? And I'm sorry for you. I see it with my own eyes, and it just breaks my heart. Some of you are living with obnoxious wives and husbands, dirt balls and dirt bags. You say, why are you talking to us about that? Well, don't be one then. Real simple. Not hard at all. Ain't talking about me. I go to work every day. He's not talking about me. I'm not a jerk. Not talking about me. If the shoe fits, put it on. Wear that thing. Take some heed. There's some sisters in Christ that are done, and yet they stay in their marriage. You know why? Because they made a commitment to the Lord. And their entire life is one giant sacrifice. Sacrifice of happiness. Sacrifice of feelings. Sacrifice of joy. And I wish I could fix it. You say, why do you preach with such passion? Because I see stuff you don't see. And I'm trying to connect with people and trying to motivate them to do life well, Daniel. Brothers in Christ, by the way, it's not just a one-way thing. Got a three up on the screen. What's the three up there for? It's for the showers. That's right, sister. We have two wedding showers and one baby shower this month. What in the world does that have to do with your sermon? I don't see that in the text. You know what I see in the text? I see a partnership. I see a partnership from the ministry of Paul and the church of Philippi. And you know what I see in a baby shower? I see a partnership from the person who's having the baby and the entire group of believers who come and say, here's a gift. Here's a gift. This costs me something. I spent my hard-earned money on this thing, and I want you to have this changing table. I want you to have this box of diapers. You know what they're presenting? They're presenting a drink offering. You know what they're presenting? They're presenting a sacrifice. And oh, by the way, there's some service that goes on. The event is planned. It's coordinated. It's distributed. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to draw some parallels. We don't have a giant altar in the church. We're not roasting meat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what are we supposed to do? Host a baby shower, make a sacrifice, and attend. Someone says, I don't have time. That's the whole purpose. It's a sacrifice. We make time for what is important to us. All of us do that. 3 showers this month. Peter says, 1 Peter 2:5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priest off to offer spiritual sacrifices. Not a goat, not chicken, not a lamb. That's not what God's interested in. You know what he's interested in? Your life. Yeah. He wants your life. We had 3 on the wall. Now we have 60. We're moving up. You know what the number 60 represents? 60. 60. Not 50, not 100. 60. Jim, it's the number of volunteers it takes to man the nurseries at 8:30, 9:30, 10:45, and 6 o'clock. Every single Sunday, John, 60 volunteers. 60. Did you just hear the number I said? There are presently, throughout the day, there will be 60 different adults who will say, I will serve. I'll chop some wood. You guys are in here enjoying the sacrifice, and we'll be some drink offerings right back there. There's a partnership between us and them. Are you going to volunteer this year? Will you be part of the 60? Will you be part of the 3? Will there be any sacrifices from you this year? Any service at all? Will you split a log for Jesus this year? Deacons, teachers, nursery workers, Awana, visitation, nursing home ministry. Dick Button's always looking for more people to go to the nursing home with him. Set up, clean up, the Gideon ministry, church, children's church, the security ministry, a sound booth, a cameraman back here, a sound booth, Dave in the sound booth, 3 people back here, somebody watching your car right now, another person circulating through the hallways to make sure it's safe. You know what they're doing? They're splitting wood for the altar. We're living in an entitlement mentality world. And we cannot allow that to infiltrate us as Christians. We are different. We are called upon to serve. We're not expecting to be served. We're looking for places where we can serve. Give me a spatula. This is the year that we're going to transition to elders, God willing. They'll all be servants. And then finally, I want you to notice, please, the joy and sacrifice of service. It's not a drudgery. It's not a drudgery. You're not out there writing the check going, I sure wish I didn't have to write this stupid check to this horrible church so I could drive the new F-250. Can't stand being in the nursery with all these whining, stupid, crying babies. Why don't they shut up? No. It's a ministry. It's a joy. I rejoice in the opportunity. Thank God that I can serve. Thank God that I'm blessed. Awana, children everywhere, look at them all here. Glory to God, they're here learning. It's a joy. The emphasis is incredible. He rejoices. What was our first number? It was what number? 3. Howard, did you say it or you just don't ever answer? Well, all right, 3. Thank you so much. What was our next number? 60. I got one more for you, and this was an even better number. Y'all ready to see it? This is a great number. You know what that number is, don't you? That is how close we came to our 2017 projected giving. So the goal was 100%, and we came within 3/10 of a point of meeting 100%. I'm happy with 99.6, aren't you? I'm thrilled. When Denise sent me that email with those numbers, because we sent out a text message, we made a plea, we asked you to see if you could come up with a little bit more for the church in the month of December. We asked you to make a little bit additional sacrifice so we could wrap the year up well. And you know what you said? Yes, we'll do it. You said, yes, we'll write another check. You said, yes, we'll make a little sacrifice. You said, yes, we'll step up the plate. We believe in the work that's going on there. It's 99.652%. Glory to God. Not worried about the fact that it's not 100%. It's not the number that matters. That's not the focus. Why? Because it's a reflection of your faith. Jesus said it very clearly. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what he said. So when you say, I don't have any money, but you have a Netflix subscription, you have a Time Warner subscription, you have that's why you don't have any money. You have a brand new smartphone, right? I mean, it's the most recent, updated, cool but I don't have any money to give. Of course you don't have any money to give. You're not willing to make a sacrifice. You're not willing to make a sacrifice in any way, shape, or form. That's why you're turning away right now. That's why you don't want to make eye contact, because you're not interested in making a sacrifice. Does your faith produce anything? Does your faith produce anything? Because faith that's real produces something. Amen. It produces something. You say, what would it take to get to 100%, Pastor Sean? $100 a week. I said $100 a week. John, $100 a week. Across a congregation this size, between two services, we're talking about a quarter a person. Literally, if every person would just add 50 cents to whatever you gave, we'd be there. Olivia, that close. Just a little bit more. It's almost like those campaigns that they have at like Dick's Sporting Goods. Would you round up your change to the next thing? It's that close, folks. It's that close. And really, is $5,000 the issue? No, it's not the issue. That's not the issue, folks. We'll be fine without $5,000. The lights aren't going to turn off. It's not going to be cold in here next week because we don't have $5,000. It's much more about the idea that we have a body of believers who are whole hog for Jesus. And the way they show their commitment is through some type of giving. Brother, I didn't even use 10%. I'm not talking about tithe. I'm just talking about a gift, John. Just a gift. Hey, throw it on the altar. I want to partner with Joey Kellett. I want to partner with Aaron Bashore. I want to partner with them. I want to have a work in the branches down in Mexico. Put my name down in Peru. That's the idea, church. That's what Paul's excited about, and me too. Next year, let's have it start with one. 100. You're a banker, brother. You know exactly what I'm talking about. 100. How about 101, like those screaming eagles out at Fort Campbell? You know, not that I can't even believe I just said that, brother. Really, I mean, I just can't believe where that came from. I don't know. I was never assigned to that god-awful place. But seriously, now you're shaking over here with me, weren't you? I saw that right there. These cringing at that idea of being a screaming eagle. All right, let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for a great morning in your house. And I just pray that you would bless our efforts to serve you. We want to serve up some chicken with some Italian dressing, Lord, and we want it to be pleasing to you. We want to get out our spatulas this year and get to work chopping wood for the altar, Lord. Cleaning up, setting up, serving in nursery, singing in the orchestra, singing in the choir, playing our instruments. Helping in the body of Christ in any way, shape, or fashion. Help us to do that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.